again.
Okay, thank you very much. If you look at the very first Mishnah, in the beginning of the Masechta, good place to start, the Mishnah lists off for us some requirements of a sukkah, right? We learned this, correct? Correct. The Mishnah says, source number two, Mishnah and Sukkah, Masechta Sukkah, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the very first Mishnah, the opening words of the Masechta. Sukkah, shehi gavoa lamala me'esher mama, a sukkah whose height is taller than 20 amos, psula. Rabbi Yehuda, machshir. Rabbi Yehuda, does he allow you to sit in a sukkah that's higher than 20 amos? Absolutely. And as the Gemara explains, the fundamental machlokas, whether or not we allow a sukkah to be a diras kara or not, whether or not we allow a sukkah to be a permanent structure, Rabbi Yehuda seems to think yes, and the Tanakhama, the first opinion of the Mishnah, seems to think no. That's rule number one. Second rule, ushein gavoa asar tfachim. If a sukkah is not taller than 10 tfachim, vishein la shlosh tafanot, if it does not have three walls, ushchamasam ruv mitzilta psula, and if it has more sunlight entering the sukkah than shade, if there is more sun than shade, it is pasul. Now, although this Mishnah seems very straightforward, it's just a laundry list of halachot, there's a fundamental problem, I think, with the fact that the Masechta begins with this Mishnah. Anybody think of it? What questions would you ask on this Mishnah? What would your first question be after seeing this Mishnah? It's hard to think of them because the Mishnah seems very straightforward. There's not much to discuss. I mean, obviously the Gemara discusses a lot about this Mishnah, but there doesn't seem anything controversial about this Mishnah. So what's our problem with the fact that the Masechta begins with this Mishnah? Yes.
It's talking about the building of the Mishnah, but the mitzvah isn't built.
Excellent. First question is that the Mishnah begins, the Masechta begins with the mitzvah of building a sukkah. What would you expect the Masechta to begin with first? Is that the appropriate place for Masechta Sukkah to begin with the building of the sukkah? Where would you prefer to see the Masechta begin? I'll give you a hint. The very first Mishnah in all of Shas, the very first Mishnah in Brachos is what? Me'emasai what? Koronesa Shema. But Rabin, when do we begin Shema? In the evening. And the Gemara on the spot asks the obvious question that everyone should be asking. What question does the Gemara ask? You want to know when we say Shema, you haven't yet told me that there is a mitzvah to say Shema. Obviously, right? How can the Mishnah start by discussing the technicalities of the mitzvah of Shema before it outlines for us that there is a mitzvah to begin with? And of course, the Gemara discusses, that's a Beferish Apostolic. Everybody knows you have to. It's in, right, it's a Apostolic in the Torah, and therefore the Gemara answers the question in that way. But the question is still a good one. We would think that before we get into the details, the nitty-gritty, the laundry list of details in the mitzvah of Sukkah, we would tell us there's an obligation. And it's not just that I would hope there's a better place to start, but there actually is a better place to start. And the Mishnah has what would seem to be a more fitting place. Look at your sheets for a second. Where should the Mishnah start? The Mishnah itself tells us, if you look in the third source, in Masechet Sukkah Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Arba Esrei Seudot Chayav Vadam Lechol B'Sukkah. Achas B'Yom V'Achas B'Layla. There are 7 days of Sukkot, and the Mishnah tells us you have an obligation to eat 14 meals in the Sukkah, 2 meals a day. That seems like a more appropriate place to start, no? And then the Mishnah could say, now that we know the Zichir to sit in the Sukkah, and now that we know that we have an obligation to eat in the Sukkah, or to dwell in the Sukkah, now let's discuss how exactly that Sukkah is constructed. So that's question number one. Any answers to that question? Any possible answers? The Gemara, by the way, unlike in Brachos, the Gemara doesn't ask it. But this is a theme in Shas. You know, in Shabbos, for example, the very first Malacha, the very first Mishnah in Shabbos discusses the Isser of Hotzah v'Achnasa, carrying on Shabbos. And everybody asks, why is that the very first mitzvah that's discussed? And the Gemara has to address it philosophically. He says it's a Malacha Geruah. He says it's the only Malacha where you're not changing anything. By carrying, I'm not affecting change. I'm just carrying. So I would think that's a lowly mitzvah. And therefore I have to be told that it's a mitzvah. I have to show the chashivas of the mitzvah, the Gemara begins with it. But this is a question that we see oftentimes in the beginning of Masechta. Why does it begin the way it begins? So what might be the reason why Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and those who helped compile the mission decided to begin the Masechta this way and not a different way? Any suggestions? Okay. No? Okay, so we'll hold off. Second question related to the first question is as follows. I want someone to tell me, after looking at the Pesukim, what should the Masechta have begun with? Ein achinami. Once you're going to tell me that it begins with Sukkah, then we have a question, why to begin with the mitzvah of building a Sukkah? But perhaps after looking at the psukim, we would suggest that it shouldn't be in with the mitzvah of sukkah at all. What do the psukim say?
Going in chronological order, the first in Pesach Mem, it talks about Zal and Nun first.
Excellent. If you look at the psukim, excellent. The beginning of the first source, it says in Pesach Mem, Ulekachtem lechem b'yom rishon priyet hadar v'chavos amrim l'yanaf itzavos v'arvei nachal usamachtem l'fei Adonai Eloheichem shivat yamim. That's the mitzvah of taking the Dalet Minim. What comes after that? Basukot Teshvu Shivat Yamim. Just by a brief reading, a glance at the Psukim would indicate that if you're going to go according to chronological order, if Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi had any rhyme or reason with how we set up the Seder Masechet Sukkah, he should at least be following some sort of pattern. And then what better place to pattern the Masechet after than the Psukim themselves? But after all, he doesn't do that. He begins with the Mitzvah of Sukkah, which indeed is not the first Mitzvah mentioned in the Torah. It's actually not even the second mitzvah in the Torah. The mitzvah of Simcha comes before. It's the third mitzvah mentioned in the Torah. So the question is, again, not only why does it begin with the mitzvah of building the sukkah, but why do we begin with the mitzvah of sukkah at all? And just to elaborate the question, we're not going to read it inside, but the Orach Lener of Yaakov Ettlinger, who you have on your sheets in front of you, he makes the question even stronger. He says, we have a klal, we have a principle in Shas and Gemara, haktim dine, that we have an idea, we're always maktim dine zutra, Midine Rabba, we always begin dinim that are small and diminutive in nature before discussing laws that are more encompassing, before discussing laws that have more details. And if you look at Masechet Sukkah, a large chunk of the Masechet is dealt with the Sukkah, building the Sukkah, the first parak, the second parak, whereas only a little bit of the third parak is discussing the Dalamin, a little bit of the fourth parak discusses the Aravot. But the majority, the most difficult part of Sukkah, the bulk of the laws, are the laws of Sukkah. So Aruch Lener says, not only does it not follow chronological order, but the Gemara itself is not beginning with Dinei Zutra, it's not beginning with the small, the few laws. It's biting off the apple, it's taking the large chunk out first, the chunk of the sukkah, leaving us with a few laws and Tazas Simchas Beis Sheva at the end. But why do we begin with very difficult laws of sukkah first, right? If I were to begin this year by launching into a tirade, right? A long-winded discussion for 10 minutes, I would have you all lost. But if I ask a small question first, why does the Masechta begin with sukkah? That makes sense. But to go into a whole long elaboration before we begin with the small questions, you lose your audience. And that is the principle that we have in Shas. So, 2b, question 2b that the Aruch Lener addresses is not only does it not follow chronological order, but it doesn't even make sense. For, of course, the purpose of Torah Shabbat Peh is to be taught Baal Peh. And how can we remember something when the laws are so encompassing? Technical details about round sukkahs and sukkahs with two walls and partial third walls and some schach and slanted roofs and canopies. Who's going to remember those laws? So any question, any answers to that question? Right, everyone understand the second question? Any answer? Yes. Ah, very good. Excellent. So the Aruch Lener, we're not going to read inside, but he gives that exact answer. He gives that answer. A very technical answer, right? He gives a very utilitarian answer. Exactly what you said. And he says that precisely. He says, first of all, when approaching the Chag of Sukkot, of course you have to build a sukkah first. You can't sit in a sukkah before you build a sukkah, right? And for most people, I'm not sure if I'm included in one of them, most people build their sukkah before they buy a Dalet Minim, right? They do the larger task first, and then they buy the Dalet Minim, unless you wait until the day of, in which case you might have bought your Dalet Minim first. So answer number one, the Aruch Lener says exactly that, but it's a very utilitarian answer. He says that it makes sense because the sukkah comes first, the Asiyas sukkah comes first, and he says, after all, the Torah says, and he says it does make sense, in that sense. And he adds, not only that, but even if you think about which mitzvah we perform first, is that what you're going to say? Which mitzvah was performed first?
No.
You something else? Which mitzvah was performed first? Sitting in the sukkah or Dalet Minim? Sitting in the sukkah. We sit in the sukkah prior to the Dalet Minim. Not only that, but if it's Shabbos, do we sit in the sukkah?
Yep.
But if it's Shabbos, do we take Dalet Minim? No, so perhaps not only does it come first chronologically, but perhaps on some years it comes a full 24 hours, a full day, more than that, a full day before the performance of taking of the Dalet Minim. So the Aruch Lener gives an answer, but I want to develop it a little bit more. That's a very technical, it's a technical answer, and it makes sense, and it's 100% correct, and there's no reason to argue with the Aruch Lener, and as a matter of fact, that is the often quoted answer. But I want to suggest perhaps there's a more philosophical reason why the Torah begins this way, and I want to show you based on a Gemara and a Tosfos that it's not just that I don't like the Aruch Lener, but perhaps the Gemara is telling us even more than just that. Yes?
Why I was just going to say, with the exclusion of Aliyah and Regal, the other mitzvot are done within the parameters of this sukkah.
So you think you take the dalamim in the sukkah? Not that you have an obligation to take them in the sukkah, right?
Right.
Right, okay. There's an idea, I think the Kabbalistic idea to take it in the sukkah, but I don't think there's any maker idea you have to take the dalamim in the sukkah at all. Right, but you're 100% correct. Perhaps the sukkah is encompassing, with the exception of Aliyah L'Regel, perhaps all the other mitzvahs are performed within the sukkah. Excellent. Very good.
Where is Aliyah L'Regel in the
pasuk? Well, it's not mentioned here. Not here, but it is mentioned in the Torah. It is mentioned in the Torah, not in the sukkah. The sukkah is mentioned, I believe, I don't remember exactly, I think it's three times in the Torah, but this is not the only source in the Torah where it comes up. Okay, fine. So, I want to strengthen this question by showing you a very interesting Gemara. And the Gemara is in the middle of your page in Masechet Sukkah Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph. And the Gemara says as follows: Ha'ose Sukkah La'atzmo Omer Berach Shechianu V'Kimanu V'Hiyanu. That when one builds a sukkah, he is allowed to, but not going to say allowed. The Gemara says he does. He absolutely makes the brach of Shechianu. You make the brach of Shechianu when, not when you first sit in the sukkah, but when you build the sukkah. Then after the first night of sukkah, you sit in the sukkah, you make the bracha of leishev b'sukkah. Once you made a bracha on the first day, you don't make any other bracha. So the Gemara says mefurash that when you build a sukkah, you make a bracha shechianu, and you make that shechianu again when you sit in the sukkah for the very first time. Does the Gemara say you say it again? No, what bracha do you say when you sit in the sukkah the very first night? Leishev sukkah. So the Gemara seems to be implying that one can fulfill, right? One can fulfill the bracha of Shechianu on the Asiya sukkah, even though it's prior to the Chag of Sukkot. Now, how do I know this? Maybe the Gemara is implying that you make the Shechianu before Sukkot, but you also make the Shechianu when you sit in the sukkah for the very first time. I know this because that's what Tosfos tells us. Look at Tosfos, the very next source. Tosfos tells us, Dibur HaMaschol, Nichnas Leishei Ba Mevarech Leishei B'Sukkah. It says Tosfos, Midelo Ka'amar Mevarech Shtayim, Kedikatani Seifa Basiyas Sukkah Vomedes Ve'en Yechol L'Chadish Ba. From the fact that the Gemara later on tells us, let's say I have a sukkah that's Tasov Lumina Asui. Let's say I have a sukkah that's already built. So the Gemara there tells us Beferish, when you go into the sukkah, you make a Shechianu and a Leishev. By the fact that the Gemara here doesn't tell me that I make a Shechianu when I go into the sukkah, it only mentions it in connection to building the sukkah. It implies that I'm fulfilling my chiv of saying a Shechianu through the building of the sukkah. But the fact that the Gemara doesn't point out to me, like it does elsewhere, that I say the Shechianu when I sit in the sukkah, the Gemara is letting us know very clearly that the Shechianu is said after building a sukkah. And Tosfos is going to ask our question. What's our question going to be? What should our question be after reading a line in the Gemara? What should our question be? Is there a mitzvah to build a sukkah? No. Now there is an idea. Sukkah's tassel l'chol. You have to build a sukkah. And that's perhaps one of the answers to the previous question. But I think everyone agrees. Although the Torah, you get a kiyum ha-mitzvah in building a sukkah because the pasuk does says, use the word tassel l'chol. You should make a sukkah. I think everyone agrees that you don't get an act. There's not a mitzvah to build a sukkah. Although one might have a kiyum mitzvah in building the sukkah. What's the ikar mitzvah? Is the ikar mitzvah to build a sukkah? Right? Absolutely not. The ikar mitzvah is to sit in the sukkah. And not only that, when can I say the Shechianu? I can say the Shechianu at any point prior to Sukkot, I believe 30 days beforehand. Which means to me, I'm saying that if I build a sukkah weeks before Sukkot, I can make a Shechianu on the building of the sukkah weeks before Sukkot. What's the connection between my Shechianu that I say on the building of the sukkah and the Chag of Sukkot? Is there any connection whatsoever, aside from the fact that I'm involved in building a sukkah? I haven't even experienced a Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur yet. We're so far removed from sukkahs that it's the last thing on our mind. Yet the Gemara seems to say that Shechianu can be said on the sukkah. So says Tosas, we're going to see his question. V'teima, v'teva lid mevarach m'shem yom tov. K'mo shem mevarach in ha-yom tov de Pesach v'yatzeres v'chol shar yom tovim. Shouldn't we have to make a Shechianu on the Kedushas Hayom like we say on Pesach and Atzeres on Shavuos? Shouldn't we be required to make a Shechianu on the actual Tzumo Shayom on the Etzem day? That the day that we have a Kedushas Hayom, shouldn't the bracha be associated somehow with the holiday? Good question. That seems to make sense. Do we have anything like that? We make a bracha, a shechinah prior to Pesach, when we bake the matzos? When we bake the cheesecake? Of course not. So what answers can we give? What perhaps might be an answer to this strange, or let's use the word difficult, Gemara? How are we going to respond to this principle mentioned in the Gemara? Seems difficult, right? Right. So how can we respond? Any suggestions of how we might be able to respond?
Well,
Okay? Let's see Tosfos' answer, and we'll see if we're satisfied Tosfos' answer. V'shema kevan de sukkah mach maschakasi. Perhaps since I'm building a sukkah for the Chag of Sukkot, svaruhu dizmandi day, by the fact that I'm now building a sukkah, it's clearly not June, right? It's probably not July. I'm in the ballpark. I'm within the time frame of Sukkot. It's Mandi Dehu. It might not be actual Sukkot, but my performance of the mitzvah of Sukkah is in correlation, is connected to the Chag of Sukkot. After all, if it wasn't Sukkot's time, if it was May, chances are I wouldn't be building a Sukkah. Afa pisha berach b'chol pater hu af b'chag. And even if I made a bracha b'chol during the week prior to Sukkot, I am pater for making a bracha on Chag of Sukkot. Dezman ki asi machmas moed ka asi. Because I feel below Yom Tov, that it's the moed of Sukkot. It's the time. Moed is from the Lashon of the time of Sukkot, even though it might not be the Chag of Sukkot. So Tosfos seems to be telling us that something about building the Sukkah is perhaps, if not equal to sitting in the Sukkah, there is something about building the Sukkah which in and of itself represents Sukkot, even though it doesn't have Kedushas Hayom, even though we don't bring a carbon prior to Sukkot, even though we don't sit in the Sukkah, right? It's Baal Tosif if I sit in the Sukkah prior to Sukkot, I make a bracha, even though we don't say Kiddush. Something about building the Sukkah, even prior to the Chag, is intrinsically connected to the Chag. Is this related to our first Mishnah? Does it relate? Two ideas seem to be related, correct? Well, that was our very first question. Why does the Mishnah begin with the building of the Sukkah? Right? Why does Sukkah come before the Dal and Minim? And clearly we see from Tosfos, that Tosfos outlines for us, that there's something about the Moed, the time of building the Sukkah, even though it's not the Chag of Sukkot, which is very, very relevant and very important. And our job is going to be to figure out what exactly that is. Is the question clear? Any questions on the question? Question? Statement? Answer? No. Okay, good. Alright, good. So those are the first three questions. The first three questions are, why do we start with a laundry list of details before outlining the mitzvah? The Torah doesn't seem to follow chronological order, added on to the Orzarua's question. So not the Orchaner's question, which is that the Talmud is breaking its principle of beginning with the few laws before the many laws. A third question is, this Gemara seems very difficult, especially in light of Tosfos, who says that you can make a Shechianu prior to the start of Sukkot when you build a Sukkah. Now let's go backwards for a second. Let's go back to the Gemara and let's see what the Gemara's answer is let's look back at the Mishnah. So if I was going to ask you what question you would ask in the Mishnah, aside from a question of why does the Mishnah begin the way it does, what question do we always want to ask after seeing a list of laws in the Mishnah? What would be our first inclination? What would be the first thing we would want to know more about? After Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi outlined for us a set of laws, we will want to know, where did he get them from? Right? That's going to be oftentimes, that's going to be the first question a Gemara will ask, is how do we know this? Because after all, one of the trademarks of a Mishnah, as opposed to a Gemara, is that in the Mishnah, very, very rarely do you ever see a source mentioned in the Mishnah. Right? We noticed that, correct? When you learn Mishnayos, you don't see sources. Why don't we see sources mentioned in the Mishnayos? Why? Because the purpose of Mishnayos is what? It's to learn the dinim, to get the, not halacha l'maisa, it's to get the bottom line, the laws. And the psukim, although important, aren't going to help us remember the laws necessarily. That's the purpose of the Gemara. And then comes the Gemara and asks that very first question. Mina hani mili. We're back in source number two. Mem nun hey mem. Mina hani mili. The Gemara asks that question. What does mina hani mili mean? From where are these words? Where is this idea that a sukkah has to be less than 20 amos from? So the Gemara then presents three answers. And we're just going to look at the first answer. The Gemara says, "Amar Rabba, Amar Kra, based on the pasuk, 'Laman Yedu Do Rasechem Ki Besukas Hashatiyas Bnei Yisrael.' In order that your generation shall know that I had you do all such a hard pasuk to translate, and that's part of the problem. Ki Besukas Hashatiyas Bnei Yisrael, that I had Bnei Yisrael dwell in Sukkot. Why is that important? Says the Gemara, 'Ad Esrim Ama Adim Yodeh Shudar Besukah. If a sukkah is 20 amos or less, you know that you're sitting in a sukkah." However, lamala master mama, if it's higher than 20 amos, ain adim yodeh shadar b'sukkah shindelo shalta be'ena. And sukkah higher than 20 amos, I'm not aware that I'm seeing sukkah. The schach is so high above me, I have to strain my neck to see the schach. I'm not aware that I'm sitting in the sukkah. Based on the pasuk of laman yedu do rasechem, and the Gemara presents other answers as well. The question is, what does it mean laman yedu do rasechem? In order that your generation should know, future generation should know that you sat in the sukkah. What is that referring to? Is it clear what the pasuk is referring to when it says Laman Yedu Do Rasechem? Does everyone agree what the pasuk of Laman Yedu Do Rasechem is referring to? Is there a consensus on that? Whenever anyone asks you when it comes to Gemara, is there a consensus? The answer is always going to be no, even if you don't know what the question is. Right? Is there a consensus that Laman Yedu is the mitzvah of, is commemorating a specific sukkah? Or perhaps Laman Yedu is commemorating either one of two things. What might the pasuk of Laman Yedu be commemorating? What's the famous machlokes? Are we commemorating by sitting in a sukkah the mitzvah, right? The fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu sheltered us in Sukkot, Sukkot Mamish, or are we commemorating the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu sheltered us in Anani HaKavod, right? And this is the Gemara, second to last source on the page. Says the Gemara in Yeraf Mabiz, keep a Sukkot Shafti Yisbani Yisrael, Anani HaKavod HaYudivrei Beliezer. Beliezer says they were Anani HaKavod. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Sukkot Mamish Asu. Rabbi Kiva says they were actual Sukkot. And of course, how do we paskin? The Shulchan Aruch says that we paskin. We pass in Anani HaKavod. Now this might seem like a nice idea, but is this relevant in Lahalacha Lamaisa? Why we sit in the sukkah? Is there any relevance? Is there any practical relevance as to why we sit in the sukkah? Does it make it an iota of difference? Why might it matter why we sit in the sukkah? If it's to commemorate the Anani HaKavod, the clouds of glory, or whether or not it's to commemorate Sukkos Mamash, actual boots. Why might that make a huge difference? It might make a difference when it comes to my what? Kavana. If the Torah tells me Laman Yedu, Dor Seichem, their generations have to know, well, I might want to ask, what do I have to know? Do I have to have in mind that I was sitting in a sukkah? Right? Is my kavana when I'm sitting in a sukkah that Hashem protected me in a sukkah mamish? Or should my kavana be in an Anani HaKavod? As we're going to see, there might be a difference. Now, who made this idea famous? Who made this nafgamina, this practical distinction famous? It's a very famous tour. We're not going to read the tour inside, or at least not all of it inside, but we're just going to see the tour made this famous. And then came the Bach. The tour, as we all know, right? The tour, as we all know, is generally just focuses on the halacha, right? The tour mentions halacha, it mentions dinim. It's very unusual for the tour to postulate, for the tour to go into sermonics. That's something that a shul rabbi does. The tour's main focus was to give us halacha lemaisa. And therefore, any time the Torah goes into sermonics and goes into beautiful and lofty ideas about mitzvot, we have to wonder, why is this halacha sefer focusing on these beautiful and lofty ideas when, after all, his stated purpose, his stated goal of the Torah is to outline for us halacha psuka. So the Torah says, and this is one of the famous examples, Mila is a famous example, so we see Tzitzis and Tefillin are a famous example. The Torah says as follows, last source on the page. Basukos teshu shibas yamim, man yedidu rasechim, basukos shaftis b'nei Yisrael. Fine, no problem. But say yosam, just as a pasuk. So then says the Torah, tala hakasu mitzvah sukkah b'tzias mitzvayim. The Torah goes out of its way to tell us that sukkah is connected to Yisias and Tzvayim. Mechin harbi mitzvah, sofishu davar, shara'inu beinenu. Why? Because it's something that we saw with our eyes, v'azinu shemanu, we heard it with our ears, v'ina adem yachol hashkechenu, no one can deny the fact that Hashem took us out of Mitzvayim, v'hi amora ala misas mitzius abore. It testifies to the truth, it testifies to the existence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Hashu Barik Kol Ratzono, He created the world, etc., etc. It goes into great details about the mitzvah of sukkah, what we're supposed to be thinking on the mitzvah when we sit in the sukkah. And he says, right? And he goes into, then just top the next page, Torah says, Shoshivana behem haimanani kavod, Shakifan behem l'chol yaka, behem sarah, beshemesh, Hashem protected us in His clouds, right? Etc., etc. Now, if I was writing a halacha sefer, again, we're used to the way that style that authors write nowadays, where authors oftentimes like to divert from their stated goal and like to talk about the touchy-feely. But the Torah, if you read the Torah, this is not his style. Talk about what we're supposed to be thinking, that Hashem protected us, that we saw with our own eyes and we heard with our ears, that Hashem protected us. That's not what the Torah's goal is. He doesn't do that elsewhere. Only on very rare occasions. Says the Bach. The Bach, Raviol Sirks, who makes note of this, and he says it's not coincidental. It's not for no reason that the Torah diverged here and went to talk about the philosophical aspects of sukkah rather than just the halacha. Says the Bach, Yikol Meidak B'Divrei Rabbeinu. We can infer from the words of our Rabbi the Torah, She'ein Zemidarko B'Chiburu Azel of Era Kavana L'Shem Mikra Shabbatora. That's not his way. That's not the way the Torah operates to talk about Kavanos, the Kavana of the Psukim. Kilo Barak L'So Kara'a Al Horas Minhag. The stated purpose of the Torah is to give Psak Halacha, right? Well, the Horas Minhag can tell us what the Minhag is, the practice is. U'Po Harich L'Va'er V'Ledrosh Mikra D'Vesukos Teshvu. Why does he do that here? Says the Bach, second line, V'yara'ali lamar b'zesh esover dekev and dechsev. Since it says laman yedu in the Torah, you have to know lo kiyem hamitzvah ketikuna im lo yeda kavanas hamitzvah hasukah kafi pshuta, that you don't fulfill the mitzvah unless you know why you're doing it. And as other examples, he brings the mitzvah of tefillin. He brings right laman tiyat Torah Hashem b'ficha. He brings the mitzvah of mitzvah sitzis laman tizkaru. Anytime the Torah tells us you have to do something, you have to remember something. I'm doing the mitzvah laman tiyat Torah Hashem b'ficha laman tizkaru. In order to remember something, I have to know what I'm remembering. So the Bach points out that indeed by sukkah it's very important that we sit in the sukkah. Perhaps Mishnah Brewer says, b'di'evet, if I sat in the sukkah and I wasn't thinking about the anane kavod, I fulfilled the mitzvah. Just like if I'm wearing sitzis or making sitzis, I don't think about the reason why Hashem told me to make sitzis. But lechadchila, I'm supposed to think of the sukkah. And my question is, why dafka by sukkahs? Ein ochinami, what's the reason why dafka, when it comes to sukkahs, the Torah tells you have to remember why you're seeing the sukkah? Because the Torah tells us, why laman yedu dor seichem? Of course, that's the reason why. But our question is, why specifically by sukkahs? Why is it that when it comes to sukkahs, do we dafka, we specifically have an imperative to remember the reason why we're sitting in the sukkah? If I eat matzah on Pesach night, and I don't think about Yisias Mitzrayim, do I fulfill my mitzvah, the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah? Do I fulfill the mitzvah? Right, as long as I'm not completely, as the Gemara says, completely misasik, I'm not unaware of the fact that it's Pesach, I'm not unaware of the fact that I'm eating matzah, right? If I, let's say, I'm a non-religious Jew, and I happen to buy matzah, and I happen to eat it on Pesach night, have I fulfilled the mitzvah of matzah? So the Gemara says, you're misasik balma, you're completely oblivious to the mitzvah, you don't fulfill the mitzvah. But in general, if I eat the matzah, I'm not required to have any other kavanos except for eating the matzah. There's no requirement. Yet when it comes to sukkah, specifically on sukkah, out of all the chagim, there is a specific requirement to remember why I'm sitting in a sukkah. And that's going to be our fourth question, which is why specifically in sukkah? The pasuk notwithstanding, because we can ask, why does Hashem say l'man yedu dor seichem? Right? Of course, it's because the Torah says l'man yedu dor seichem. But why specifically by sukkahs do we have to have a hakar? Do we have to have a recognition of why we're sitting in the sukkah? More so than any other chag. That's our fourth question. And the fifth question we're going to ask is a question which many people ask, many both Rishonim and Achronim ask on sukkahs, which is, out of all the nisim which Hashem performed in the Midbar, to name a few, what are some of the nisim Hashem performed for us in the Midbar? Man. And the Be'er, right? There were other nisim which Hashem performed in the miracle. If you had to rank the nisim, the Be'er, the Man, and the Sukkah, to name three, how would you rank them? What in your mind would be the most incredible nis? Right? Perhaps the Man, right? Manna from heaven, food from nothing. That seems pretty remarkable. Especially if we're going to follow the Shittas of Rabbi Akiva, the Shittah of Rabbi Akiva, that it's only a Sukkah's Mamash, it's actual Sukkot. So the nes of sukkahs is really downgraded. But even if we're willing to say it's anani hakavod, why dak anani hakavod? Why don't we have a chag commemorating the man or chag commemorating the bear? Now it is important to note that many mafarshim say that although the Gemara seems to have machlokas in Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lezer, why are we from the sukkah? In reality, it's not really a machlokas because Hashem did actually protect us with anani hakavod and with sukkot. And the Netziv points out that in the same pasuk the word Sukkot is written with a vav and without a vav. And the Netziv points out, he's not the only one, but he famously points it out, the reason why the word Sukkot is spelled in two different ways is to point out to us that there are two different Sukkot. And it's pointed out that Rabbeinu Bachai says, what does that mean? He says that Hashem protected us in Sukkot, in clouds, when we were in the Midbar. But when we went and conquered the Sichon and Moab and Ammon, when we went to war against them, we were in the battlefield and we were sitting in actual Sukkot. So there is this idea that Hashem actually protected us in both Sukkot Mamish and Anani HaKavod. Yet the question is, even if it's Anani HaKavod, why did we dafka single out this nace and no other nace that was formed for us in the Midbar? That's our fifth question. Okay? Any suggestions? Why is this so much more of a fantastic miracle than the miracle of the Man or the fact that we had the Be'er? The Ber Miriam. After all, could we survive without the Anani HaKavod? Yes. Absolutely. Could we survive without man, without food, without water? Absolutely not. We were in a Midbar. We were in a barren wilderness. So therefore, not only does a manna even seem to rank as such a great miracle as getting food from nothing, but perhaps it wasn't even as necessary. So that's going to be our fifth question. So just to remind ourselves of the questions, we have the question, why does the Masechta begin the way it does? Why does the Masechta not follow the order of the Pesukim? What's the deal with Tosfos telling us that the Brach of Shechenu not associated with the holiday of Sukkot at all? What's the deal with the fact that we have to have Kavanah by Sukkot but not by other holidays, even though the Torah says L'man Yedu Dover Seichem? Why specifically by Sukkot? And the fifth question being, why do we celebrate Sukkot at all, if after all there were other miracles which Hashem performed on our behalf? Hey, any suggestions? Any answers? Any all-encompassing answers you want to suggest? Okay. Any? No? Okay. So, I'm sure if I give you time, you would think of them. Okay. So, I want to start by distinguishing between Sukkot and the other Chagim. And I think if we can distinguish what exactly is we're commemorating on Sukkot, as opposed to other Chagim, we can begin to answer one answer that can answer up all of our kashas. And I didn't see it anywhere, so it might not be correct, but it's not a mechudashtik idea. It's not something which is so novel that you all say, oh, I didn't think of that. That's crazy. That's magic what you're doing, Rabbi Prince. You're not going to say that. You're not going to say that. You're just going to say that makes sense. And I think it does make sense. The difference between Sukkot, I believe, and Pesach and other Chagim, is that on Sukkot we're not just commemorating an event such as Matan Torah, or a Nes like Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're recalibrating our attitude towards Avodat Hashem in general. All we're doing on Sukkot is reaffirming the status quo. On all other Yomim Tovim, we're celebrating that which is unique, things which are unequivocally unstatus quo-like. Right, that God had to change nature. On Pesach, we commemorate the fact that God split the Yom Suf and God performed the Makot, and Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, even though we were Avadim. We're commemorating the fact that Hashem broke nature, something which is a one-time event. Now, Eina Chinami, that one-time event, is supposed to be Mashpia on us. It's supposed to affect change in us. That all year, we're supposed to be recommitting ourselves to be Avdei Hashem. On Pesach, we can recommit ourselves to the idea that we are free men and free women. Why? Because Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and although Hashem performed for us a miracle, He performed some miracles for us every day. Eina Chinami, you're supposed to affect the way we live our lives in general. But Pesach, by definition, is commemorating a one-time event, or a series of events. And it's a time in year when we refocus on things that were unusual, miracles performed on our behalf. On Shavuos, which we remember Chag Matan Torah Seinu, we remember a one-time event, right? Perhaps a two-time event, right? We got the Luchos twice, but really a one-time event, the event of Matan Torah. And Eina Chinami, of course, is supposed to affect change the rest of the year. On Shavuos, we recommit ourselves to the Torah. We know that every day is like Matan Torah, and we're more cognizant of it on Shavuos because it's the anniversary, but every day we have to view as if we got the Torah from anew every single day. But in reality, Shavuos commemorates a one-time event. But on Sukkot, we're not just commemorating a one-time event. All we're doing is commemorating the status quo. Sukkot, by definition, is the way we're supposed to live all year long. Now, it happens to be that in the Torah, right, we've assigned a specific amount of days, 7 days, to this awareness. But Sukkot is not to commemorate a one-time event, or even an event that took place over 40 years. But as we're about to show, all Sukkot is supposed to do is to reaffirm the way we're supposed to live the other 358, or in Chutz La'aretz, 57 days of the year. Sukkot is all about just recalibrating our focus. And perhaps that's the distinction, and that's going to be the answer to all these questions. Let me explain. On Pesach, right, we witnessed the Yad Hashem. We witnessed Nisim Galuyim, open miracles. Sukkot is commemorating not so much a Nis, but what Sukkot is commemorating? Hashgacha Pratis. What's Hashgacha Pratis? Divine intervention. We're not so much commemorating the miracle on Sukkot, which will answer our questions why it doesn't seem like such an amazing miracle which God performed for us, especially if you're going to follow the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, that it was just Sukkot Mamish. Because it's not an actual miracle that we're commemorating. Although it is miraculous that we were surrounded by Anani HaKavod. Although it is miraculous that, as some say, that we went into the Sukkot, even if they were huts, not afraid of the slings and arrows of our enemies. It's not really the miraculous that we're celebrating. We're celebrating the mundane. We're celebrating the Hashgacha Pratis, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved and protects us on a daily basis. And once a year, all we do is remind ourselves of this Hashgacha Pratis. And I think this answers our question on Tosfos. If you remember, our question on Tosfos says that you can say a Shechianu prior to Sukkot, even though it's not yet, there's no Kedushas Hayom yet, just on the building of the Sukkah. How is that possible? So perhaps it's this idea. Although Eina Chinami, the Sukkah is intrinsically related to a certain time period, a week during the year, and the Torah gives a certain week of Kedushas Hayom, and that's the only time of year when we could say a bracha on the mitzvah of sitting in a sukkah, and that's the only time of year that we can make a bracha on the Tilas Lulav and Esrog. Of course that's true. But sukkahs by definition, although it's tied intrinsically to a certain time of year, just by building the sukkah, by taking part in this hakara, in this recognition, not of the miraculous, but of the ordinary, once my mind is recalibrated, I now have in a sense fulfilled my entire purpose of sukkahs. What's the entire purpose of sukkahs? L'man yedu dor sechem, just to know. How do I get myself into the know? How do I get in the know? What better way than to get in the know than building a sukkah? Once I've taken that sukkah and I've started building those walls and I've built that shelter for myself, it might not be sukkahs yet. But after all, as we said, sukkahs is a chag for all year round. Although it's related to a specific week during the year, it's an all year round chag. Sukkahs is a time when we just remember what I'm supposed to be remembering today. Sukkah is a time when we commit ourselves to remembering what we're supposed to be remembering in May and in June, in October and in January. Once a year, we Hashem forces us to remember. But that remembrance is something which has a part of our everyday life, not just our life on Sukkot. And therefore, perhaps that's what is Tosfos is mentioning us. By the way, just lahalacha l'maisa, if you're wondering if you should say Eshechianu on the building of a sukkah, so the Shulchan Aruch does quote it lahalacha, that one may say Eshechianu on the building of a sukkah. However, he says that the minhag, he says minhagenu, our minhag is to assign the Eshechianu on the Kedushas Hayom as well. That we would prefer to combine the Shechianu not only on the mitzvah sukkah but on the Kedushas Yom Sukkot as well. And therefore the Shulchan Aruch says that when building a sukkah one does not make Shechianu, and instead you wait for the very first night of Sukkot. And as far as the last line in the Gemara goes, you only make a lay shape of sukkah on the first night. We obviously don't pass like that line either. So though this line in the Gemara is l'halach l'maisa, you may say Shechianu on the building of a sukkah. The Shulchan Aruch says we're not knowing that way because it would make more sense to make it on the Kedushas Hayom. Okay. Yes. The Shulchan Aruch, actually the Ramah mentions, actually that's in the source, she mentions the name of the Ramah, that there's an idea to build a sukkah right after Yom Kippur. Mitzvah baliyadu al tach mitzenu, that in Yom Kippur we recommit ourselves to our avodas Hashem, and therefore what better way to finish Yom Kippur than to actually involve ourselves in building the sukkah. But again, that's only if it's practical. If it's not practical, there's no reason why you can't build a sukkah prior to that. Now there is an idea of building a sukkah prior to 30 days before sukkahs. If you build a sukkah too far out, 30 days before sukkahs, then it's no longer a dira sarai, it's no longer a temporary dwelling, it's a permanent dwelling, because it's now been standing erect for more than 30 days. Therefore it has to be within the time frame of 30 days.
But after 30 days you have to put a mezuzah on it.
Right, there is an idea like that as well, right. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there is the sheet that you put a mezuzah on a sukkah, because he says a sukkah is a diras kever and not a diras arai. Very good, excellent. The Gemara says that. Okay. So this, after all, is what we're trying to say, that sukkah is just about commemorating the status quo, and not the miracles, specifically, which God performed for us. So what is the status quo that we're supposed to be commemorating on Sukkot? And I want to share with you three similar but different ideas in terms of what are we supposed to be recommitting ourselves to on Sukkot. What is it that Sukkot is supposed to remind us to all year long? Isn't it, this ends at 12:30? Or not 12:45? I mean, I think... Okay, we're going to go 12:30. Okay. So, let's look at... I want to share with you three different ideas. The first idea is not on your source sheets. The first idea is mentioned by the Chida, and it's saved for the Birka Yosef. Let's remind ourselves of that very first question we asked. Not the very first question, but let's remind ourselves of the second to last question we asked. We asked, why is it... Maybe it was the last question. I think it's the last question we asked. Why is it that we commemorate the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected us in Sukkot and not the other Nisim in the Midbar? After all, we needed those Nisim to survive. And the Birka Yosef, the Chida, he says, quotes from the Rosh David, he says, perhaps within the question is the answer itself. He says, what we're commemorating on Sukkot is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't have to make the Sukkot in the first place. He says, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed us to survive makes sense. The fact that we need water to drink and money to eat makes sense. After all, if Hashem doesn't have a people with who can testify to the fact His greatness, Tikkun Olam Mitzrayim, if we wouldn't have existed, so the nations would scorn a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't say this, I'm saying this. But we need to survive at a minimum. That's clear. Was it an ace? Absolutely it was an ace. But it was a necessary miracle. Says the Rosh Dovud, quoted in the Chidah, says, as opposed to the Sukkot. Because after all, could we have survived without Sukkot? It might have been some sarav, it might have been a little bit hot, it might have been a little bit of akbarim, there might have been some scorpions, it might have been uncomfortable, but was our survival be in question? Absolutely not. So says the Chida, What are we supposed to recalibrate on Sukkot? What's our focus supposed to be on all year long that we remind ourselves on Sukkot? The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us because He loves us. That it's not, that most, all of what Hashem gives for us, not most, all of what Hashem does for us is not because it's necessary. No one's twisting Hashem's arm, but Hashem provides for us in general more than what we need out of His great love for us. Right, the Hashem envelops us all year long in His embracing love, the love of the sukkah, the embrace of the sukkah, which is something that exists all year long. Although, of course, on Sukkot we remind ourselves of that, and that perhaps is why Rava and the Gemara on Beis Amar Aleph says that the man yedu dover sechem. If you don't see the schach, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. Because in order to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah, I have to see that I'm sitting in a sukkah. I have to see that I'm being sheltered in this temporary abode. I have to be aware of the fact that I'm enveloped within a sukkah. That's to remind me of an Ani HaKavod. And perhaps that's what the Bach means as well. It's not just that by sitting in the sukkah that I haven't filled the mitzvah in its optimal way, like by matzah. Okay, chachil, you have to have kavan when you eat matzah as well. It's different when it comes to sukkah. It's not just lichachila versus bidiyavid. It's that I haven't even fulfilled the mitzvah, perhaps. If I'm not aware when I'm sitting in the sukkah, why I'm sitting in the sukkah, that I'm sitting in the sukkah to commemorate the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to protect me even though I didn't need to, so I'm totally missing the point. I'm totally missing the point. This one idea changes our entire outlook, right? It's called a paradigm shift. Right? Classic example would be, imagine you woke up in the morning, and you, at 4 o'clock in the morning this morning, you see someone going from house to house, and he's filling up buckets of water and placing them on people's doors so they should have water to drink in the morning, right? Or something that, you know, or someone delivering papers to people's house in the morning. That guy's a tzaddik. He's giving people reading materials on a Sunday morning. What a beautiful thing. Every morning this person goes around and he brings the Bergen Record to everyone's house. What a tzaddik. Just so they can read it. And you think to yourself, can you imagine what this man has to go through? He has to go to the paper mill. He has to go to where the record prints the paper and buy the record. He has to put it in a little bit of plastic sheath. And he has to go from door to door all throughout Tzinik delivering a newspaper. This guy's a tzaddik gamur. Then someone tells you, by the way, that's his job, and he gets paid for it. Right? One small detail changes the entire perspective. First, this guy that's Sadiq Gamor, he provides reading materials to the teenage community. And then you say, wait a minute, he might be a nice person, but by delivering the record doesn't prove that, because all he's doing is his job. That's the idea by sukkah. So the Bach is telling us is, you can sit in the sukkah, but if you don't have this hakara, if you don't have this recognition why you're sitting in the sukkah, then how's it going to recalibrate your entire year? How is your focus going to change? And by definition, if it doesn't change your focus, then you haven't yet fulfilled the mitzvah of Sukkot. Okay. The second idea that I want to focus on is this: is the idea of the Derech Hashem. The Derech Hashem by the Ramchal, which is in your source packets, he has a beautiful idea. He says there's two ways to look at the Sukkah. There's two distinct ways to look at the Sukkah. On the one hand, as he said, where the arrow is, Inyan HaSukkah V'alulavu Ki'hinei Anani HaKavod Shehikev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es Yisrael, the Anani HaKavod which God enveloped the Jewish people with, of course it had a practical reason. There was a physical reason why it had to be protected by the Sukkot. It was to shade them. It was to protect them. Perhaps there was a spiritual reason as well. The reason why Hashem put us in Sukkot was not just to protect us. What was it, he says? There was a spiritual aspect. That through the Ananim, Hahem Hayunim Sim Yisrael Muvdalim Levadam Unusuim in Aretz. That Kadosh Baruch Hu separated us and lifted us up off the ground. And that's what the Medrash says. The Medrash says that it wasn't just one cloud. The Medrash says there were seven clouds that Hashem enveloped us with. There was in all four directions. There was Ananim on top of us, an Ananim below us, and an Anan that led the way. So we were completely subsumed under these Ananim. It wasn't just to protect us, but it was actually to corner us off, right? We're in this room, we're being protected by this room, but we're also cornered off from the rest of this building. And he says, from a ruchni perspective, Hashem wanted to make us His own. He wanted to corner us off, He wanted to lift us up off the ground so that we're completely enveloped in His ruchnis. Kein haya nimshach lemetzias ha'ara mishakenes osam levad. Levdal mikol amim. And that way Hashem showed how we were separate from all the other nations. Hashem was demonstrating to us that He's elevating us from all nations of the world. Right? Beautiful idea. Second thing we have to recognize on Sukkot, that we have to take with us all year long, is that we're moved al mikol amim, that we're separate from the nations of the world. And on Sukkot is the time when it's built in this recognition. Of course, this is a recognition which we have to have all year long. It's brought down by the Shla, that the Ramak and other Gedolim as well did not speak anything but Divrei Torah in the Sukkah. All they spoke was Divrei Torah. They didn't speak anything but the Torah based on the Gemara and Sukkah. The Gemara and Sukkah tells us that Atzei Sukkah, Asur Kol Shiva. that the walls of the sukkah, the schach is muksa on sukkah. You're not allowed to play with the schach and the walls. You're not allowed to touch them for no reason. So there's the idea that they said al pi drush that sukkah the walls of sukkah are usher kol shiva. All 70s are usher. They're forbidden to us. Meaning what? They're forbidden from sichos chulin. You're not allowed to speak sichos chulin. Anything which is not Torah. Rav Aaron Cutler said, right, in the Mishnah Sanhedrin, that sukkahs were guests of the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Hashem invites us into His home, and if you're in someone else's house, you have to follow their rules, right? And the Ariya Kaddosh and many Gedolim used to speak only Torah. Can you imagine if that was that's how we operated? Like you want to say something to someone, but you can't say anything but Torah. It would be pretty difficult, right? But like, well, let me tell you the word about the baseball game last night where the Mets won 5-6, 5-4, and Hashem hit a home run. Kaviyachol, it was amazing. You had to have seen it. Right, we find ways of doing it, but despite that fact, right, and then it's that idea because on Sukkot we have a hakara, we have a recognition that in reality we're in Hashem's domain, and on Sukkot we're physically in Hashem's domain, as the Rav Aaron Cutler says, we're invited into Hashem's home, and that Atse Sukkah Aser Kol Shiva, but in reality that has to be our perspective all year round. That the Atse Sukkah are Aser, that there are things that we cannot be involved with, which we want to be involved with, but we are enveloped in the Shechinah of Hashem. That's the second idea, and what's the third idea? And we're going to end with this. Last idea is the Drasha Sarav. Instead of going into great details of the Drasha Sarav, I just want to point out one pasuk that the Rav mentions. The Rav mentions this idea that Avram Avinu, and we're not going to go through the read through it, but if you have time to read through the Drasha Sarav of Soloveitchik, he has a beautiful idea. He says, top of page 111, let's read you pasuk. Vayita Eshel Be'er Sheva, Ve'ikra Shem V'Shem Hashem B'Kol Olam. And Avram planted a tree in Be'er Shema, and there he proclaimed the name of Hashem, God of the universe. So the Rav asks, why does the Torah bother to describe Avram's planting of a tree? Moreover, how is proclaiming the name of Hashem, God of the universe, related to as activity? The Torah relates this detail because Avram taught the world that through the tree one could perceive the master of the universe. God himself controls the flowering and the growth of the trees, the falling, the withering of its leaves in autumn, and the budding of the growth and war leaves in the spring. Organic life is revealed through the tree, and thus through the tree the Lord is perceived as well. And the Rav goes on to explain this beautifully and discusses that's exactly what Avram meant when he asked his guests to sit under the tree. Why did he ask them to sit under the tree? He said he wanted them to partake in the beauty of the world and the beauty of the Borei Olam. And the Rav says it's not coincidental that the halacha in this sukkah is that if you make a sukkah that's like a korah, the roof of the sukkah is like a board, you don't fulfill the mitzvah. Because the Rav Soloveitchik points out beautifully that in sukkahs we have to see beyond the schach, we have to be able to see the stars. On sukkahs we can't, all year long we're myopic, whether figuratively or literally. Although we know the science exists, we refuse to see the beauty in the science. Rav says sukkahs is that one time a year when we're in tune with nature. When we're in tune with the fact that the entire world is Hashem's song, that the breeze is Hashem's, and the leaves are Hashem's, and the trees is Hashem's. And therefore, all year long, we cannot forget that although what we see with our eyes might become mundane and ordinary to us, on Sukkot it's a time to remember that really it's extraordinary. And that's why the laws of this, that's what the rule of the Sukkot is, you have to be able to see the stars. Because as the Rav says, you have to see the stars in Sukkot. You have to be aware of the cosmic order. Beautiful idea if you have time to read it. And that, of course, is the third idea. That the recalibration that we need on Sukkot. And I just want to end with one last idea, since it is the Aseret Yemei HaTshuva. One last thing. I didn't see a source for this, but it's quoted in the Sefer Bircha Yosef, who is a Rav, who's still alive. He's a Rebbe in Kol Torah in Eretz Yisrael. That's this last source here. He says a very nice idea. And I'm not going to read the first paragraph, I'll just summarize it for you. The Mishnah Berurah points out a very famous idea. In the name of the Yaros Tavash, who's of Yonasan Ibishitz. And the Mishnah Berurah, and he quotes here, tells us that there are 7 days on the Aseret Yemei HaTshuva, aside from Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and each of those days were to be matakein for that day in the previous year. So a lot of rabbis discussed it yesterday in Shul, I'm sure, that on Shabbos Shuvah we're supposed to be matakein for all the Shabbatot throughout the year, do Tshuva for everything we did wrong on Shabbos, all the Machal Shabbos we did, anytime we didn't show Shabbos for proper Kavod, the proper Yira, whatever it might be. Shabbos Shuvah is a time when we recalibrate. Right, and today's a Sunday, so I have to say I'm sorry for every Sunday that I slept in, right, or every Sunday that I didn't go to shul, or every Sunday that I wasted my time. So Sunday, this is to fix or to be mitakin every Sunday of the year, etc., etc. Says the Birch Yosef, and again I don't know where Birch Avram, again I don't know where he gets it from, but I think it's a nice idea anyhow. He says at the end of the first paragraph, three lines from the end of the middle paragraph, three lines from the end. which says Baal Da Zen Nirish Zion Hayamim Shel Sukkos Heim Hachana LaZayin Yemei HaShvua LaKol HaShana HaBa. The 7 days of Sukkos, in the same vein, are preparation for the 7 days of the year to come. Right, so the Sunday of Sukkot is to work on a certain midah on Sunday the rest of the year, and the Shabbos Sukkot is to be working on a certain midah of the Shabbos of the year. What is that idea that the 7 days of Sukkot correspond to the 7 days of the year? L'chios pashkafa sh'olam hazeh kulo diros arai. We're supposed to remember that hashkafically that in this world is all diros arai, it's all temporary dwelling. That our entire being has to be subsumed under the Tzel Hashem and Hashkachas Hashem. And he says, where does he get this from? Second, last paragraph. The Yisod HaZeh Ki Yadua SheZayin Yemei HaShvua Heim Neged Zayin Sfiros. We know that the 7 days of the week are corresponding to the 7 lower spheres. The Kabbalistic idea, there are 10 spheres, the 3 higher ones, and the 7 lower ones. He says, the 7 days of the week are corresponding to the 7 lower sphero. That's the idea of the Ushpizin. Every day has a certain Ushpizin which we invite into the Sukkah. Shabayim l'sukkah ayodei shemazminim. We come to the Sukkah after we invite them. V'heim neged zayin yim yamim shal b'riyas olam. And each one corresponds to another day of the creation of the world. Every 7 days corresponds to one Ushpizin. And each of the Ushpizin corresponds to another day of creation. V'harei osam atzadikim, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David, kol echad zacha l'gilgalo shlemos b'mida achas, v'modis yisparach. Each of these 7 tzadikim had one thing in common. Each of them was complete, right, in their service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? B'mida achas, b'midosa yisparach, each of them was complete in their, at least, attempt to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'anu zochim, says the Berachas Avraham. We are zocha ayde shtaluso lios mushpa'a shagam elyonim yagia ma'or kedushas aman hagasam. We invite them in. We're inviting in. We're saying that I'm also going to work on this idea. On this day of Avram, on this day of Moshe, I'm going to work on this idea as well. Me'ein zeh yishlomar deshayach lekarev inyano v'sichalo. V'akol panim zayin yamim maleim zayin me'eshvua. The 7 days can correspond to the 7 days of the week. V'matzav shekol yom hu b'hashpas tiras arai. This recognition that every day it's a diras arai, lios lo keva, v'muchzak b'muna b'tachon v'simcha, v'zelo l'mazon ruchni l'chol hashana. And this will give us spiritual food, spiritual ammunition for the rest of the year. And he actually quotes Fahinu Dimash Kassad HaRamchal, the Orkadushin Nimshach. Okay, it's not the same idea, but he finds an allusion to this in the Ramchal. And again, that is our approach to Sukkot, right? That is why we discuss the building of the Sukkah, because the building of the Sukkah is the beginning of the Hakkar, the beginning of the recognition. And that answers Tosfos' question, why I could say Shechianu before Sukkot. Because once I'm involved in this Hakkar, I'm now able to recalibrate what I perform on Sukkot. And Sukkot is not just about Sukkot, Sukkot is about all year round. We should be Zocha to have a Shana Tova, Tikatev, Tikatem, we shall have a Gemara Tov, and then we should go on to Sukkot, and we shall have a Chag Sameach, and we should enjoy Sukkot for all that it represents.